Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulullah. You're listening to Islam Tomorrow, and we're broadcasting live today, all the way from PA. Hey, that's Pennsylvania, for those of you who don't know the abbreviations of the states. This is Yusuf Esses, National Muslim Chaplain, and we're in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. This morning we're talking on a continuation of the series called Thalathun Alamat Munafiqeen, which in the Arabiyah means the 30 signs of the hypocrites. We've been doing a number of those, one for each day of the month of Ramadan, and today's program will deal with the 23rd sign of hypocrisy, or nifaq, as it's called in Arabiyah, and that is the one who is bakhil. What is bakhil? It means one who is really stingy, one who will not spend in the way of Allah or give charity, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. The hypocrites are the most greedy and miserly of the men, mankind, in the matters of the world and in doing good. And you'll see of them slaughtering 60 lambs for a marriage ceremony so that they can show off and to be heard of. But if you ask them to contribute for a project for the building of a masjid or to do something in the way of Allah, he will pull out 10 coins and then count each one exactly, and then even bite them to see if they're real coins, then supplicate for each one of them, and then he bids them farewell as if he was saying farewell to a loved one on a trip, making the stipulation to Allah that he's putting out these, but he wants them back. He asks Allah to make for him a castle on the right hand of paradise. And these are those who are the most stingy in their spending. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sublime and the exalted, says about these people, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ الْمُنَافِقُونَ وَالْمُنَافِقَاتُ بَعْدُهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ يأمرون بالمنكر وينهون عن المعروف ويقبضون أيديهم نسوا الله فنسيهم. This is really difficult to say this ayah. And I'm going to tell you why. Because it's the opposite of what we're supposed to do. And it's putting the words out of context. And Allah does that because to show you the opposite of the hypocrite and the believer. And the one talking about the believer is the best of the people for Allah. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Imran, كُنْتَنْ خَيْرًا أُمَتِينَ وَخْرِجَتْ لَنَّاسِ تَعْمَرُونَ بِالْمَرُوفِ وَتَنْعَنَا أَنْهِ الْمُنْكَرُ وَتُؤْمِنُونِ بِاللَّهِ. And that's easy to say, because that means you're the best of people raised up because you call to what is al-maruf, which is the way of Allah and all that is good, and you forbid al-munkar, which is what is the most evil and takes people away from Allah. وَتُؤْمِنُونِ بِاللَّهِ and you believe in Allah. In this ayah, it's backwards, and you keep wanting to say it the other way. You want to say al-maruf and munkar, not al-munkar and maruf. In any case, Allah has said that the hypocrites of men and women are from amongst each other. They enjoin evil and they forbid good and they close their hands from spending in the way of Allah. They have forgotten Allah, so He forgets them as well. This is Surah Tawbah, Surah number 9, Ayah number 67. And they themselves have been testified against for what they do. They will not hurry towards anything which is good, and they will even try to abstain from that and keep others from it in the same way. And this is one of the signs of nifaq. Certainly we seek refuge in Allah from that. What are some of the signs that are related to this? And there's a surah in the Quran called Surah Al-Ma'un. And you're probably familiar with it because it's in Juz' Amma, the last 30 of the 30 parts of the Quran. And it's toward the very end. It's in the last 10 surahs. And Allah says in here, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أرأيت الذي يكذب بدين فذلك الذي يدعى اليتيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون الذين هم يراءون ويمنعون الماعون. Many of you have probably already memorized this surah and heard it many times, but Allah is rhetorically asking the question of us, have you not seen the one, Ar-Aytullahi Yukadibubadin, who belies the religion of Allah? And he continues by talking about the one who, when he prays, he just does it to show off for the people, and then he ends it by mentioning this word, Ma'un. And this is what the surah is named for, that's why it's called Surah Ma'un. And he does this. What is it that he does? What does Ma'un mean? It means he is so stingy. And one of the explanations of this ayah, it says he is so stingy that he would not even give you the salt for your food. Now that's stingy. A person wouldn't give you salt. Salt is what? It's one of like the most common of all things on earth. And it's almost not worth anything. But why would anybody be stingy and not even want to give salt to somebody? And this really is a sign of nifaq, or hypocrisy. And you might ask yourself, well, okay, so the guy is stingy, but that wouldn't necessarily make him not a believer just because he is hanging on to his money or, you know, not putting out like he should in the way of Allah. But in fact, that is a sign of disbelief. Now, I'm not saying kufr in this case. I'm saying it's a sign of what leads to disbelief, which is hypocrisy. And the evidence for that is that everything in Islam, we understand everything is coming from Allah, only from Allah. He is our Razzaq. He provides from everything for us from the time we're born until the time we die. There's nothing that we get in this life except that Allah already wrote for us to have it. And if there's anything that we weren't going to have, then there's nothing we can do to get it. It's all to Allah. And whatever we have in this life is really on loan from Allah. It doesn't belong to us. He created it. He's the one who takes care of everything, and he's the one who lets us have these things. So who are we to try to abstain from sharing with others who are in need? So when charity is something coming in front of us, and we need to make this effort to give, then it should be that we would give, and give in a goodly way, and not to be stingy or bakhil in doing so. I really am talking to myself because this is something that all of us suffer from at some point in time. And I recall one of the most horrible things that happened to me with regard to this, and that was when I was in Medina. And this is the place of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I was at his masjid, which is called Masjid an-Nabawi, the Prophet's mosque. And while I was there, I was passing by him, he's in his grave, peace and blessing be upon him, and I had just passed by there, and I was going out the door and coming around the corner, walking to the hotel, and in doing so, I observed that ahead of me, there was a woman out there begging of people, going up to them and bothering them to get money from them, and immediately, you know, my United States of America attitude kicked in, and I was trying to think of how to avoid this lady who I know is going to be up here in my face begging for me. So I stepped behind some other brothers and walked behind them as I went around her and thought how cool I was to avoid, you know, this beggar lady. But as soon as I did, I realized something amazing. I said, I must be crazy. What am I doing? I had a chance to give charity. I had a chance to give sadaqah right here. Right here in front of the Prophet's mosque. What in the world am I doing? I could have, subhanAllah, taken huge reward, and I missed it. I blew it. What was I thinking about? I need to go back, find that lady, give her the... And by the way, I had some reals, Saudi reals, they're a coin of the realm, in my pocket for that purpose, to give in charity. And I said, what was I doing? What was I thinking about? Because I need to give in charity, especially here, especially now. I must be crazy. So as I turned around to look for this lady, I had a feeling inside of me already she wasn't going to be there. And sure enough, she was gone. So I figured, okay, she walked off. Let me just go down this corridor, because she couldn't have gone anywhere but straight down that corridor. And I went down through there between the wall and the masjid. I couldn't find her. And I said, well, maybe she went faster than I thought. So I hurried up, and I went from place to place looking for this lady, and I could not find her. Then I turned and I said, okay, I couldn't find this lady. There's plenty of other beggars out here. There always are. Let me just go get somebody else, and I'll just give to them, and that'll be that. So I started looking. Guess what? I couldn't find anybody anywhere whom I could give this charity to, these reals that I had in my hand, and I'm ready to give them, and I can't find anybody. So I started to search the whole premise of that side of the masjid. I went through every area that I could think of over there looking for somebody, and all I found was some women sitting on a blanket over there. And I said, maybe they're beggars, you know, and I went up to them, and then I realized, oh my God, these are sisters that are waiting for their husbands to come out of the masjid. I better get out of here before I get in trouble, you know. So, and then I said, all right, there'll be some beggars in the street. I'll make up for it that way. So I walked outside of the area of the haram into the street, and I couldn't find a beggar anywhere. I found the people who had their watches. You know, they put a cloth down on the in the side street area, and they put all these watches that for sale and different clocks and different things that they have for sale, dicker beads, so on. And I thought, wow, maybe one of them needs charity. But nope, no luck. I couldn't give those reals away. And I went back to the hotel, and I was really ashamed. I was really hurt inside because I realized what I had done. And what it means, by the way, in case you hadn't thought about it, means that Allah rejected my offer to give in charity. Because why? Because when I had a chance in the first place, I turned away. I turned my back away, and I didn't help the beggar. And exactly what Allah says about this in Surah Al-Fajr, this is exactly what Allah is talking about, that whenever Allah tests somebody by giving them akram, good things, and na'mah, this favor from Allah, this person will boast up and say, my Lord has honored me. But whenever Allah tests a person by restricting his means, his risk, and takes this away from him, and then this person is going to stand up and say, look how my Lord has shamed me. Look how my Lord has dishonored me. And then Allah says, Kalla, Balla. And this, no way, no possible way. He said, it's because of the way that you mistreat the orphan and those who are poor and needy and those who are hungry, and you don't take the time to even encourage people to feed these miskin, mesakin, the poor, the poverty stricken. And so for sure, I could see now how Allah was refusing my offer of charity. And I didn't know what to do. I laid down for a while, and after I got up, I came back out to the masjid, and I found some people now begging, and I ran to them. Oh, I was so happy to find them. I wanted to hug them and tell them thank you for being here and thank you for taking this money from me. But I realized they'd think I was a kook. So I just gave them, you know, the charity, and I felt like whatever I gave them wasn't enough. I wish I had more. I wish I had more. I hope, inshallah, that we all benefit from that. I really felt horrible that day thinking that, you know, we think we have so much control and we think we're the ones who are giving, but in fact it's Allah who's giving us the opportunity to give. There's another hadith in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I recall. And it's hadith Qudsi. It means that Allah says it and then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is free to say it in his own words rather than like the Quran, which has to be exactly his revelation. And in this narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that on the day of judgment, Allah is going to ask a person like this. I was hungry, and you didn't feed me. And he'll say, you're a liar, you don't eat. He'll say, I was thirsty, and you didn't give me to drink. He'll say, you're a liar, you don't drink. He will say, I needed clothing, and you didn't clothe me. And he'll say, you're a liar, you know, you what? SubhanAllah, you don't need anything from me. And he'll say, I needed shelter and you didn't shelter me. And he gives a list of things, and the person keeps responding similarly to this. And then Allah says to him, and as you did to my servants on the earth, so did you do unto me the same way. And this teaching, by the way, is not something new that came with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We find this as well in the Bible. As most of you know, I used to preach from the Bible when I was a Christian. And we find this same teaching in the Bible, that however you treat the people, this is how you treat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And while we know that He is free from any imperfection, and He is not needy, He needs nothing from us, yet the way that we treat each other is showing our true relationship with our Lord. Because as true believers, we're put here on this earth in a test. And that test is not to dominate the earth, as so many people try to say, but rather to serve those that are here on the earth. It's a responsibility of a Muslim to act as the Khalifatun fil ard. And some people give this the translation to English as a viceroy or vicegerent here on the earth, one who's in charge as though they have something to say about what's going on. This is also from the Bible. That the same words, by the way, and people misunderstand and think that this means the believers have dominion over the earth. It's only Allah who has dominion. What He's giving us is the role of a khalifa in what? A khalifa is not just a boss who goes around telling everybody what to do. If you read the stories of Omar radiallahu anhu, when he was the khalifa and how he served the people, you'll understand a lot better. Because, in fact, at that time, there were some who were very poor and hungry. And when Omar radiallahu anhu found out about it, he personally went to the Baitul Mall, which is where the storage is held for the poor. And he packed things up to take to the poor. And when he was carrying it, someone asked him, let me carry that for you. He said, you will not carry my burden on the day of judgment. So you will not carry this burden today. So this is the attitude of a true khalifa, that he personally wants to go and serve the people himself with his own hands and his own efforts, even his own resources, as in the case of Abu Bakr and Uthman and Ali radiallahu anhu ajma'in. All peace and blessings be upon them, and may Allah accept from them for all of their effort in Islam. And we ask Allah to make us of those people who wake up to the value of being one who serves on this earth. And you can't be a person who is a true servant of Allah and be stingy at the same time. Because what you have is a loan from Allah. And He's given it to you as a test to show you, because He already knows how you are, but to show you on the day of judgment how you treated the people and consequently how you are treating Him. And this is really the downfall of all of us, that we just don't give enough. Sometimes we take the attitude, well, I'm going to wait and give when I get more reward. And that's exactly what was in my mind, by the way, on more than one occasion when I had an opportunity to give. And I said, well, why should I give now when I can wait, you know, especially like in Ramadan? I can give in Ramadan and take much more reward than if I give now. Or let me wait until the very end of Ramadan and give, because take the maximum ajr right before the end of Ramadan. And all of this is nice, but it's not the point. The point is you give what you have now, and then if you have more, give it then and take more reward. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, he was very, very good about giving and giving and giving. No matter what he had, it was all available for the people and their needs. And if he gave them something and they asked for more, he did that. He gave them more. No matter what they asked for, he didn't hold back and hold something saying, oh, come on, man, I need this for me, or, you know, maybe I'll need it later, or I want to buy a new hat, or something like this. This was not his attitude. Again, this is not something new. This is not something made up by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We find this teaching the same in the Quran as we find in the Bible, and the teaching there is that if a man asks you for your coat, give him also your outer garment. Showing us that whatever people ask from you, give it and more. Give it and more. This should be the attitude of a true believer. So may Allah save us from this subject of stinginess and miserliness, that of being bakhil. I mean, and may Allah put generosity in our hearts And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to give in a way that's acceptable to Him. May Allah accept from us our charity, our sadaqah. And may Allah accept from us our alms tax or zakah. Ameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for what we haven't done in the past with regard to giving in the sake of Allah. For the believers especially, but for all people who are in need. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also told us that he is not a believer who fills his stomach and then goes to sleep at night while his neighbor's stomach remains empty. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also told us that a person as a believer, he's responsible for his neighbors in all directions, whether they're Muslim or non-Muslim. So all of this is something for us as Muslims to be aware of. And it's certainly something that's very scary when you consider that it is the 23rd sign of nifaq, or hypocrisy. May Allah save us all from this. Ameen. May Allah guide us to do better in the future. Ameen. You've been listening to a live broadcast from Islam Tomorrow. You can visit us on the internet at www.islamtomorrow.com. Our website's open 24 hours a day and always plenty of free parking. Be sure to get the other 29 signs of hypocrisy, or in Arabic, Thalathun Alamat al-Munafiqeen. Till next time, this is your host, Yusuf Estes, the National Muslim Chaplain, reminding you that Allah is Kareem. He is the most generous. And He is Rahman, the most merciful. So may Allah have mercy upon us and open our hearts to generosity. Ameen. And until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.